Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting in jail, black cat crossed my path. I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Just about do. I've been there, so I know. They keep on saying go slow. That's what they say, go slow. That's what they say, go slow. That's what's the trouble.
Go.
Washing the windows.
Go.
Picking the cotton.
Go.
With nothing but rotten.
Go.
We're too damn lazy. They try to say it's a communist plot, but all I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. My people and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine, just like a lady. You'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Countries full of lies. We all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying go slow. Yeah, that's what they say. Go slow. Well, that's just the trouble.
Oh.
Desegregation.
Oh.
Mass participation. Unification, do things gradually, will bring more to tragedy. I don't know, you don't have to be
so long. My hair is woolly, my back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow, my hair is long, between two worlds I do belong. My father was rich and white, he forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia.
Definitely is on the move here. A lot of things are happening. We have two powerhouse energies in here with us tonight. And so we have history that's here, live history. And we're going to get this going. We're going to start out with Elder Ray Funtroy. And then we're going to pick up Tariq L. Elder Ray Funtroy, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm alive and well, my sister. How are you?
Great, 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 great. Yes. Tell the people who you are for those that are might be tuning in for the first time and not familiar with Elder Ray Funtroy.
I've been involved in the civil rights movement nearly all of my life. I met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when I was 19 years old in Washington, D.C. At that time, I used to drive him around in D.C. when he would come, and I was part of the organization structure of the March on Washington, which was led by my brother, Walter Funtroy, who became the congressman from the Washington, D.C. area. And I've been involved in the civil rights movement ever since. It was like you get stung and you can't get out of it. I mean, you get hooked into this movement, and it's about black people. It's about all people, but it's basically about the indigenous, or should I say the autochthonous people, the people who are the originators or the original people on this planet. And, you know, that's some of the things that we don't teach in the public schools, but those are things that we should be teaching our people ourselves, and so that we know who we are and the power that we have. So in that movement, I've learned through the SCLC. I was president for the SCLC in Miami, Florida for over 20 years. And I was also in one time, for a brief period of time, the executive secretary for the NAACP in Miami. That was a brief stint. Did not take long to figure out what was going on, and I had to make a move. I guess just like Dr. King made a move back in the day when he could not get along with that particular organization. And we learned that it was because it was not founded by black people and it was not controlled by black people. So what Dr. King did and what I've done, attempting to correct all these conditions that we have, Dr. King did was started the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, with a group of black ministers. Of course, that organization was infiltrated and destroyed, really, in my opinion, by the system that is attempting now to rule the world, the people who are attempting to control all of us. And what we've done, I've gone through all of these things. I've been involved in so much over these years, going to federal court to free my Haitian brothers and sisters from the Chrome Detention Center here in Miami, Florida, and winning that case and getting in there to get them out to the Arthur
McDuffie. What year was that?
Oh, boy. The year, geez, was in the 80s.
This approximately in the 80s?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Okay.
It was around 82, 81, 83, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly the year, but it's a matter of record.
Okay.
No question. It's a matter of record.
Yeah.
There are federal cases that we went to fight. And then the Arthur McDuffie rebellion back in 1980. It was, and so many things, the voter registration, we believed in that at the time. We believed that if we registered people to vote that we could change things. Well, we did. We registered hundreds of thousands of people to vote all over this country, and we changed the complexion, but we did not change the condition for black folk. We put black folk in office, and things remained the same. Nothing changed for us, and nothing has changed until we change it. So we're working on that as we speak. We're putting things together to try to make, and we're going to make that change. The change has already taken place, I should say, and we're organizing to do that. There's so many things that it would take forever to tell you all of the things that we've done here and the things that I've been involved with around this country, and not only around the country but around the world, in Central South America, in Africa, and West Africa, with the people that I've been able to connect with them who have the same problem we have here. And not making the connection to understand people that they are having the problem with are the same people we're having the problem with, and that once we understand that it is a spiritual warfare, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we know who these people are now. We didn't know them, and as Dr. King said, I always think about this, and he said, I believe I'm integrating my people into a burning house, because he thought and believed that, and I said this to him, by the way, he believed that that the system was going to do the right thing. And like I told him that this is a spiritual warfare, in my opinion, and that they are not going to do the right thing. They don't know what the right thing is. On top of that, we don't know who we are. And once we learn the power that the Creator has given us, and we come together, and we stand on our beliefs and our systems and put our laws together, that we'll put a stop to what's happening, and we don't need guns and bombs, even though we should have them as also as a protection when we need it, a defense when we need it. And I also point out the fact that our brothers in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and in other cities across this nation who've been attacked by these people, one way or another, with the same system, same approach, that when they come, we should be ready for them, just as the Deacons of Defense were ready for them when they came in South Carolina. And those of you who don't know about the Deacons of Defense, you need to look it up and find out who they were and what they did. They stood at the opening of their city with their shotguns, and they stood there with their guns and dared them to come in, and they turned around like the cowards they are and ran. Like one guy said, they understand that buckshot. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, what is the grassroots assembly? What is that?
Well, the grassroots assembly
that you're working
is
on,
a,
and others.
It's an effort to organize our people at the grassroots level, with the understanding that change does not come from the top down. It comes from the bottom up. But at least of these, my brethren, we got to get together and we got to put our minds together, come up with our own solutions for our own problems, understanding that we've been separated and divided so much for so long. For those of us who still believe in the vote, I stopped voting some years ago, and I stopped because after I registered 10,000 people in 1 year to vote in Miami, Florida, and I realized nothing had changed and nothing was going to change, because even the people that we put in office did not deal with our issues. They did what they were told by the other side. Money rules in all matters. So they followed the money, and they wound up with a little something for themselves but nothing for our people. So what I've decided that what I thought we should do, and I presented it to others, and they said, yes, let's do this, that if we are more than they are, we are majority. We've never been a minority in this country, and we've never been a minority in the world today. So if we, the majority, came together with an understanding of what we must do for ourselves, not depend on anybody or anything else to do it for us, but do it for ourselves, that we will make the change that we need to make. And once we make that change and stand together, our problems, I think, will dissipate, and I think we'll be able to send those back to where the hell they came from. I'm sorry, but where they came from. But we've got to understand that this is a spiritual warfare, and that we must put our act together. And I don't think we have a choice right now to do this. And we're doing it as fast as we can, and we're asking everybody to join in. And it's not a hard thing to do. We're not asking you to follow our lead. But what we're asking you to do is, in your community, organize your people in your community, find out what your issues are from among you, and select from among you those people who will represent you and your issues in your community. In other words, do not allow these people to come in with their money and buy off your so-called elected officials and go on down the road and make money for themselves while the community suffers. And we see it all the time. We see it with the influx of and the latest was the Ukraine that they're bringing in and giving our money to, giving our health care and our education system, giving them homes and land, while they're denying the autochthonous people, the black people of this land, denying us access to our own finances, our own money, our own tax money. So that's what the grassroots assembly is about, just getting organized so that we'll turn to each other, not on each other, put our resources together and build our own nation right here. This is our land, not theirs. And I stand on that, and history will prove that. If you understand that we are the original people, the first people on this country, on this land, I should say, and these other people are invaders. We welcome them, And we welcomed them with open arms. But you saw what they did. They killed our children, raped our women, took the land, and now they're calling the United Snakes of America. So we've got to understand what we're dealing with and how to deal with it. And I think in unity we'll come up with the right solution. None of us have it all, but together we can put it all together.
Yes, and this is what we're doing. We are sitting at the mound table, and this is what we're doing. We're putting it together now. Let me bring up Tyreek Ricard L. Now, you know, they tell us their history, but you have two gentlemen here that are living history. So they were there, and, you know, they can tell you not from their point of view, but they can tell you from being there. And so this is a opportunity to be able to talk to living history so we are able to create what we need to create now. Tyreek Ricard L., how are you doing this evening?
Great, Beverly. I'm doing great, as always. I've just been lazing around today, listening and studying and watching videos and getting ready for this evening. And, you know, this is class, folks. I hope you have your papers and pens ready or your computers ready, and you can go and start looking up some of the stuff we're bringing to you, because this is how we get out of this. This is how you know what to do rather than believe that you know something. And that's what has happened to us over the many generations here since the 20s. Since they brought this foolishness upon us with the public pool system, as I call it, it is brought here by Rockefeller after they took over, the Rockefeller Foundation took over the National Education Association with bribes and grants and so forth. And then they brought the public pool system here from Leipzig, Germany. The Yiddish shulas over there, they picked that as a model, which they brought here, which is the four rows in a room with the teacher up front with the green board or blackboard, and that's the basic model that has been used upon us all these many decades.
And Brother has Tyreek. Become,
yeah.
Yes, explain who the Rockefellers, who Rockefeller is, and that background, so that they'll understand how this thing is formulating around us.
Well, the Rockefeller family, John D., the patron of the family, these were originally Baptist people that that were here. They had a little money, and they gained control of certain elements here, the railroads, petroleum, and banking. Through banking, became very powerful in this land, and were able. And I suggest anyone who wants to know about the Rockefellers, and there's a wonderful series on PBS that you can get. About the Rockefeller family. I think it's called An American Experience, something like that. And they tell you it all. They run it all down to you. They tell you how John D., how he was one of the stingiest, most unscrupulous people on the planet, how he robbed and stole and killed and did whatever he could do to get the monopoly that he wanted. And he invested his funds, you know, once he got control of the railroads and the transportation of the oil, and the fact that the waste from the petroleum industry was used to cover the roads, to pave the roads, so he became the kingpin in the country. So that's one of the main families in this land that have done to the people and to the land what has been done.
Where did they originate? Where's their ancestry?
Well, their ancestry is in Europa. They are from over in England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales area, and the islands there. These are immigrants, essentially immigrants into a system of incorporation, and that they were able to through various and unscrupulous means gain monopoly over certain industries in this land, which gave them lots and lots of power to make decisions about what goes on in the society. So that's why have a Rockefeller Foundation.
Malcolm said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Exactly. So and these are some of Plymouth Rock landings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So these are some of the people who landed on us, and they're in control now. And particularly after World War II, during World War II, they were allowed in and put in position right up in Bethesda, Maryland, And from that position, they have grown into control our government, or the government, because it's not ours, the government of this country and the corporate structure of this country. I just wanted to make that kind of clear so people would understand.
That's a beautiful quick summary. And they are in cahoots with or working together with the various large corporations, Ford, Bendix, Chrysler, all the different major incorporations in the country, which literally through their legal system and of lobbying the people in the Congress, which is no longer in Congress assemble what we had at least all the way up into the 1860s. It became, in 1872, it became the corporate Congress, and therefore no longer incorporated in Congress assembled for us. And remember the word assembled? Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the People's Assembly that directs the in Congress assembled. That's the way it used to was. See, what happened was is it's been incorporated, and they have to now, and this is where you have to know this, because otherwise you have no remedy. See, all these corporations that are calling themselves whatever, DOJ, DOD, FDBI, CIA, all of them every year have to produce a what is known as a comprehensive annual financial report. Okay, so why is that? Well, that's the rules of corporate law, you see. And so what you find out is when you get these reports, you find out that they're hiding a lot of our funds that should be going to back to us, we the people. But they have finagled it so that it does not do so. It goes back or goes, fallow somewhere, and then they pick it up later, like Clinton did. See, Clinton picked up a whole bunch of so-called fallow funds, or funds that were not people were not able to collect, and we have to know, we know that the government has every year billions of dollars that belong to the people that people never get, because they never find out that it's even there, you see. So our thing is to get people involved to the point that they will want to know what is going on, how is it working, and what do we do with it? How do we make it work? Because what is going on now, I was told today, Washington, D.C. is shut down. So if Washington, D.C. is shut down, and all this stuff that we're seeing with old Sloppy Joe and them, that must be staged somewhere. It must be. I heard it was over in down in Atlanta, in my man's 300-acre place down there.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah, you see. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this, all this fakery, you know, and they have all of this fakery set up, like you know, what we've been hearing the last 10 days now, since last Monday last, when the football game between the Bills and the whatever other team it was, and that boy Hamlin, DeMar Hamlin, what happened to him? He supposedly fell out and died on the field because they had to resuscitate him twice. If you had to be resuscitated twice, when did they do that? Because you could never see any of that because they had it completely encircled so that nobody could see anything. And then they had the one guy standing. His name was Neil. Everybody else was kneeling, but Neil was standing with the number 33. That six, you know, that 666 thing they didn't be doing at us at all times. And when you see that boy did not fall out like we've seen, I've seen a bunch of the videos with the soccer players, basketball players, referees. I've seen other players that have just, when they fall out, I mean, they literally fall out and hit their head. And you know they're out. They don't have a chance to, like this guy did. He supposedly fell out. He sat down, then he laid back. Then if he was out, as they said, the doctor says afterwards, oh, it was a heart attack, blah, blah, blah. Well, he could not have bent his arms at his elbows, and then put his hands on his hips afterwards. You know, if they, the players that I've seen on the pitch and on the court and so forth that have fallen out after these shots, they fall out. They hit their heads. They are done. You can see it. Well, this guy, he sat down and then fell back. And then they did the whole, it was almost like on cue, all these things happened. Go watch it, folks. I'm telling you, go look at it. If you can, go look at it in slow motion and see for yourself. Something wasn't right about that thing. And now this boy is all of a sudden flying in an airplane from Cincinnati to New York. What? You just came off a ventilator and you're flying up in an airplane with high pressure and down and listen, come on now. You know, people, and then he's supposed to have been, he's released and all this kind of stuff. I mean, come on, folks. There's something stinks about this.
And you've been in the medical field, so you speaking from, you know,
I'm speaking from
somewhat authority of what you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm speaking from firsthand experience working in the OR, the ICU, and the ER. I've been in. I've been in the labor and delivery. I've delivered babies at home. You know, so I'm talking firsthand experience and knowledge of how the body works. And I'm telling you that something stinks about this DeMar Hamlin situation, because all these other people that have all these other soccer players and different ones around the world got these shots and have fallen out. They're gone. They did. You know, these folks are dead. People are dying. People are literally, folks, this is what you got to understand. People around the planet are dropping dead on a daily basis, thousands daily from these shots. My friend at my PO box from Indonesia, he was crying the blues to me about his sister and his brother. They both had both the shots, and then his other brother died, and his brother-in-law died, and he keeps telling them, do not take the shots, and each one of them, they go get the shots. You know, I mean, it's like there's nothing you can really do. But like I said, it's you know, it's killing a lot of people. Believe me, it is killing a lot of people, and we do know how to reverse it. We do know how to help you clear it up, at least. Help clear it out of the body. That's one of the things we know how to do. We know how to get poisons out. We know how to help the body, get the poisons out, because that's what the body does normally. We just help it we help it along. We help it go a little faster.
And,
you know, we know how
and
to.
And how do we do that? How do we?
Well,
do
you
that? How do we?
You increase the metabolism. That is to say, the way the body functions, how it digests and makes use of and then gets rid of the waste. See, you know, what you ingest is what you become, right? And what you ingest and what you become that's left over is waste and it's thrown out the body. As well as we have millions of cells every day that die. And we get millions of cells every day new. Because if we didn't get that, we'd be dead. I mean, you know what I mean? So are you suggesting
that we do a cleansing? Is that what you're suggesting?
I am suggesting, first and foremost, yes. I'm suggesting that we do, the first thing we do is we stop eating solid food stuffs and food, cooked food that we all love because it tastes so good. And our big mamas cooked it, and our mamas cooked it, and we cook it, and it's all just, oh, it's so scrumptious. But the waste is horrible because, you know, you're mixing all these different things that should not be mixed and then have a different time level of digestion. And so what you're doing is you're constantly innervating your digestive system. That's why they have this big problem in the country where they get billions of dollars from people trying to get their indigestion fixed.
What we're doing is not only showing you this, letting you know what's going on, but showing you a way out of this. And one of the ways that we think that we know will work would be to start our own gardening, start our own food, our own farms, start our own distribution. And we've got things set up pretty good. Around the country, we have black farmers who are growing organic foods. We're just trying to get it all organized, like we said. And we have the programs put together. It's just that we've got to get the support of the people. Those of you who are listening, if you understand what's being said and have an idea of what can be done in our communities. For an example, some of you may remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Operation Breadbasket. What the Operation Breadbasket was about was beginning to take back our communities, our corner stores, and bring the fruits and vegetables and the food into our community by our own people. And that's what it was all about. Of course, it was undermined and taken in another direction. Of course, you had infiltrators and backstabbers who came into the organization who looked like us but were not us, and just like we do today. They come into our communities. They look like us. They smile in our faces and backstabbers. So, you know, like I say, every brother ain't a brother. Every white man ain't your enemy. But we must stand up for what we say and what we believe and fix our own problems. And that's what this is designed to do, to get us to start thinking, get us to come together, put our plans down and work them out and support our own survival, because that's what it is, y'all. We're trying to survive an attack. This is a worldwide attack on people of color all over the world. And this drum call that we started back in 2020 has now gone around the world. It's going right now. Every Sunday, 3 p.m., people around the world are drumming in a synchronized effort and praying for divine intervention. Creator of the universe must send his warriors to fight these demons with these weapons of war, these 5G networks, these antennas, this HARP system, poisoning of our food and our water. And spraying us every day with chemicals in the air every day. So this is what it's all about. We have the power to do it. All we've got to do is come together. And once we've done this and shown that we are about what is good for everybody, because what's good for us is good for everybody on the planet. And I'm just so grateful that we've got people like this to get an opportunity to share these things with others so that you will begin to think about what's being said cut that TV off for a minute. They're lying to you every day. You know, this news is just outright lying. What I do, Tariq, all day I've been looking at Chinese news. And, man, they tell a different story. Not that they're right, because they're in Africa doing the same thing that the Europeans and Europeans, as you call them, they are doing. They're taking it for themselves. But, you know, the world needs what we're doing here to undergird them and give them the strength and the courage to stand against these guns and these bombs and these poisons that are coming at us. But I just wanted to add that to it.
Okay. Now, I keep hearing about 666. Now, melanin times 6 neutrons and 6 electrons.
It is the complete chemical, so to speak, combination that is, you know, in harmony with being on this planet, this water planet, and the fact that the sun is such a part of our existence that without it we wouldn't even be here. But we have the melanin centers in our bodies that allow us to survive in all of these temperatures, and those who are with less melanin, so to speak, less centers of melanin, which most people have some, because that's natural, that's in nature. But they do turn brown after applying certain things on their skin and the sun. They can turn brown as well, but it doesn't last long, you know. And even we who are melanated, to whatever level, we can increase our complexion color, which is never black, because black is a word that means bleached out and pale. So we have to change that, and we have to stop using that, because it's not true. There's absolutely nothing about us, no place on the planet call that, no nothing, and that we consider, that we call ourselves this adjective. See, there are no adjectives in law, only nouns. So if you're not a noun, then you're an international asteroid. You know, that's basically what the deal is. You can't call yourself a color, which is not really, but it's an absorption of the color spectrum. But you can't call yourself that, because that just shows that you have no nation. You have no nationality. You have nothing behind you. So when we say the People's Assembly, the People's Grassroots Assembly, we're talking about all of the people here who are of the copper tone or copper color complexion, which is, we can go back to 1820s and see that is the definition of us in the Webster's Dictionary, even in their dictionary. That's what it says. It doesn't say black.
Why we say this is a spiritual warfare, that we're not against flesh and blood, but we are spiritual people.
We are spiritual
human
people,
experience.
But you have to have a nation. You cannot be with a nation.
Yeah. Yeah, we come with so many religions and so many understandings, misunderstandings about who we are and what we are. And the problem that we have, the people who are presenting to us, who are controlling us, have an agenda for themselves, and it's not for the people. And that's why the Grassroots Assembly is so important, because our agenda will be for the people. And we can change that. We can build our own cities. We have in place right now a medical system that's going to heal people once we get it in position. And we're working on it. And we've got it. It's proven. It's a proven system. And I'm going to ask that Beverly brings the doctor on that and let him explain how this works, if he will, or when the time is right, when he decides that it's right for us to present it. But we got to save our people from all of this poison they're giving us, all this diabetes and high blood pressure and cancer and AIDS and all the stuff they're doing to us. And they're doing everything, but we have to understand that no weapon formed against us will prosper when we understand who we are. And that's just the way that we have to look at the situation in order to overcome it. And I think it's very important that we understand that.
Right. The key is.
And I just want to say, I just want to say that the people who, because we fight, you have, and I don't even call it a fight because it's really not a fight, but people that, who's working on the paperwork side of things is, because we got, we're working on different fronts. People that's working on the paper side for Genesis, you know, they use the stick that they use to whoop us with. You take that stick away from them and whoop them with it. And so genocide is a $1 million fine, and that's, you find that, and you use 18 U.S. Code 1091. So for those people that's fighting on that front, that's the code, that's the stick you can use to whoop them with. Now, you also have fraud. Fraud is $10,000 fine. That's 18 U.S. Code 1001.
Right.
So we're
dealing
with genocide here. We're dealing with fraud here. And also we're dealing with racketeering. And so criminal and civil racketeering. And so that is a $25,000 fine. That is 18 U.S. Code 1963. So for those that is fighting on that front, those are some of the codes that you can, those are some of the sticks, as I call, that you can use for your weapon.
Yeah.
And the power is in the law. Like we say, law means the land, the air, and the water. So, you know, the land
law
is the earth.
Right. Law rules all affairs. And I highly suggest that everybody get the book called The Law by Frederick Bastiat and read it thoroughly, because that gives you the proper foundation of whose law are we talking about. We're talking about our law. We are the law. We are the ones who gave them the whole customary basis for law, and then we have allowed that to be stripped from us and used against us, but We are now coming back. We know, like you said, Title 18 gives us a lot of things. We know also that the Administrative Procedures Act is the one of the key remedies we have to deal with these administrative creatures, bureaucrats and the rest of them that are for example, now it is happening that Christine Grady, who is the spouse to Dr. Mengele, Fauci. They now are investigating their emails in between, because they got all of Fauci's emails, which anybody can find out about in the book, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert Kennedy. You know, you can find all of these emails out. And what they were doing the whole time is setting up the country so that they can make in the future big, big money through the grants, through the government budget, and so forth and so on. And Fauci was the one that the budget went through his hands from his wife, you see. And, and now they're being investigated, and he's stepped down. And so now we're getting to the bottom of this Nazi takeover of our governance, and I think this is what's going to all come out, because right before the end of the war, they brought them here, they put them in place. Mengele was here, Reinhard Galen, who set up the CIA with Wild Bill Donovan. They had the DIA, they had the NSA, they had the NASA. All that's Nazis. That's not American. Americans didn't build them and put that all that stuff together. See, that's what you got to know, folks.
Yeah. And also in our archives, you can go in our archives with Dr. Robert X. He named all of the people, Dr. Fauci, his wife, and all of that. So we, there's places you can go to get the information. So, you know, we're dealing with information and solution, networking, bringing everything together here.
Right.
The thing that I wanted to share at this point is the fact that we know all these things now, the thing that's been said, and enough of us has been involved long enough to know that we now must put a solution together for ourselves. And when we understand that money rules in all matters, whoever has the most money rules. And who has the most money? Who wins the elections in this country? Those who have the most money. Who has the most guns and bombs? Those who have the most money. So what is taking place right now under our noses as we speak is that there have been 198 countries around the world who have come together and have said enough is enough. They're no longer going to accept these Europeans, these white folk, coming into their countries, killing their leaders, and stealing their natural resources. Dr. Martin, I keep bringing Dr. King up because he was so accurate and so right about what he was saying that we didn't understand at the time. He said he sent my brother to Africa to organize the African leaders, the presidents at that time. And they did. They got organized, but they start killing them left and right. We can go down the line, and Robert X has pointed that out on a couple of occasions. I heard him, where African leaders have been assassinated, and in many cases by their own people, and because of this, the love of money. And they've taken over a lot of these countries. But Gaddafi was the one that was putting it all together, taking his money to build the schools across Africa to teach our people. He was setting up a satellite system so that we wouldn't have to pay those ridiculous prices that these Europeans were charging, and we'd have our own. He also began to put together the gold standard African currency, and that's why they took him out, and they took him out with his own people. These are the things that we must know. So when we get organized, so we'll understand, you can listen to these news and watch these people, and you can hear them lying every day when you know what the end is and what's going down. But they're losing. They're losing as we speak. As Dr. Francis Cress Welsing told us, they're on their way out of this planet. And they're on their way out because of the way they've treated those of us, at least of these, my brethren. This is a spiritual warfare. You cannot get away with what you've done and doing to humanity. So it's on us. And when we say that the money rules, when we ask you not to spend your money, come and hold your money. Don't buy a damn thing. Okay? Don't buy nothing until that is broken.
But remember, you tell people that, they look at you like you're crazy because, you know, that's the only time of the year that somebody might give them a gift and tell them that they love them, or you might give it to somebody and tell them that you love. I mean, that's the only time of year that people have been ingrained with this nonsense of Satan Claus and the whole thing that goes down. And so what I'm telling you is people have to get their heads together and their hearts back together. And the only way that's going to happen is through study and reading and discussing amongst ourselves and building these relationships and networking with the organizations that are out here already working to change things. They're doing it. They're not talking. I saw all this week I've been seeing documentaries on PBS telling us that, you know, you got this group, that group, all around the country. They're picking up, they're doing things for themselves. They're bringing it back together. We need to just network with them, and that's how this thing is going to take off. I know that. See?
I'm seeing that our people, looking at our young people, and they're out there, and they're networking. They're just like one of the young brothers, I can't think, young Farrell. He was in the mall during Christmas time. He was telling people the history of Christmas, that was a ritual, and he was explaining it to them. And people was, they don't know, but he was in the hall teaching. So that's what we're doing. We've been under this lie all this time. So everybody, you know, not everybody, but different, like you say, different groups is getting together and saying enough is enough, and we're finding out the truth that's going on here. Let me open up the line. I have some more people that want to join the mound table. Let's see, 706-202.
Yep.
You're at the table.
Yep.
Hotep and better love, Brother Tariq and Brother
Hotep,
Ray.
Better love.
Oh, Brother Kwame.
And Sister Bear. You know,
yeah.
The way you was speaking on it, Tariq just touched on it about students and the part of he was speaking about SCLC and the 80 and what SCLC started in the 60s, also at the same time that SCLC broke off a branch, what was called SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinated Committee. And that was the young people, John Lewis, Marion Barry, Ella Nat, Ella Baker, Diane Nash. These were all students at these universities in joining the struggle as for the rights of what they were fighting for with SCLC. And so what we're talking about with coming to this, but we have to get the young people. These young people, because they are getting our children in pre-K and kindergarten, where are we going to grab our children back at?
Yeah.
We've gone away from giving our children grandma's lap time and grandfather's lap time and start giving them laptops and iPhones. We've got to take our children back because we've got to guide them to understand how to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be workers and drones, but how that we can create and be independent is what we're talking about. It's easier to fix a broken child than it is a broken adult, because you're talking about fixing all these broken adults in all of these areas in the metropolitan areas, and they are not wanting to be fixed. They're gratified in having those parts of themselves that they think that they've made it. We've got to take the next generations and begin to teach them. I was just on the phone yesterday with a brother in Atlanta who's working with youth groups, and he's working with young men and young women and teaching them how to be entrepreneurs, how to be construction workers, how to be different fields of trade. These are the things that we have to begin to do, because if we're going to wait for that system that was created by Rockefeller, it ain't going to happen. They
not
said
happen.
That they want educated for workers, not thinkers. And we've got to be able to, what Julius Nyerere said in the 70s when he became president of Tanzania, he said, whosoever educates your children controls your future. Whosoever educates your children controls your future. We're talking about creating a future, but we got to start with the future, and that is our children.
Yep.
Let me also add to that. What happened with SNCC and what happened in the 60s, we proved this to be, Marion Barry, of course, was a friend in Washington, and we helped him get elected and all that. But what happened was, we were under the impression that being a part of the system, we could change it. That we elected people to be in that system, that we could change it. That did not work and has not worked and is not working now. So what will work, in our opinion, is, first of all, money rules. And we are the ones who make the most money. We are the majority. Because, and that makes us, puts us in the position of having the most money. The problem has been that we've been tricked into spending our money outside of our people. So once we have turned that knowledge that we've learned, not only that we learned in their system, but in our own systems, we had our own schools. We had the number one schools. I graduated from the number one black high school in America, Dunbar High School in Washington, D.C. And because we had those kinds of that kind of education in that day, that was attacked by the John D. Rockefellers when they did and came in and took all of that knowledge out of our community, out of our school systems and out of our community. When they integrated the community, we lost that. We lost that ability. And that's what we're counting on these young people to do. when they understand that they go through college and they get their degrees and they come out, they still cannot get what this other boy got. And they still don't have the education that this other boy gets. So once they understand that, they will put it together like the brother that you were just speaking of. We got the brothers here doing the same thing in Miami. They're teaching the skills again. They're teaching air conditioning. They're teaching plumbing and electricity, all of the things that you make a living.
But we got, but Brother Ray, you said the part that we're making money. Do you know you can go on University of Georgia Economics Department. You can go online and they will show you by race that Europeans are still number one. Mexicans make $1.9 trillion. We're making $1.3 trillion. You know who the fourth person is in coming up and making wealth? LGBTQ people are at $1 trillion, $100,000 per household in married, same-sex marriage.
Yep. I
guess how have we almost dropped to number four?
Number five.
The LGBTQ people make more money. They're at $1 trillion, and their household is $100,000 per household of same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say it's because of the spiritual warfare we're in a spiritual warfare with a wicked system. That's what I say, and I say that until we put together, it's a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Until we come together and understand who we are, and use our own principles and our own laws, and stand on those laws. Okay, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. So you know, we're trying to get along with people because they run and stuff. Well, let them run, but they will not be running it long because of the spiritual warfare that we're in. And that's why we've got to stay on a spiritual note, not putting down anybody, but to make it clear that we are spiritual people, and that's how we live. And
but
once we start
I'm, just,
living
I'm trying to see,
like
Brother Ray, because I'm trying to see how is it that we were number two. It was Europeans and African-Americans was number two in far as gross national as far as earnings. We've moved to number three. How is it that the people that just come into this country have turned around, that keep their culture, they keep their money and keep their culture working together in their community? How
because
have we once upon a time did that?
Let me answer that, please. Because we are in a system that have brought these people here, put them in position. They have denied the indigenous or African people here, the black people here, or the autochthonous people here, they have denied us our own land. They gave our land away to people that they bought in. They gave our money to those people that they're bringing in right now. I just explained it earlier on another show that here in South Florida, you have a Russian community, you have a Cuban community, you've got a Hispanic community. Different Hispanics have different communities. You got a Haitian community. It's been divided up, and the last person to get the same amenities that others are getting are the black people in this country, those whose blood, sweat, and tears are in this soil, those of us who fought for the land, those of us who grew this country, who built this country, are left out and locked out. And until we organize and address it ourselves, it's going to be the same.
Right now, you're right.
We're number two. We were number two because
number
there was
three.
Only one other. Number one was the white man, and we were number two. And then they start bringing people in. We drop them to three, there four. We're going to be dropping out if we don't get organized, is what I'm saying.
But I'm trying to overstand something. You graduated from one of the most prestigious schools in D.C. at Dunbar High School. We had one of the most powerful HBCUs at Tuskegee with Booker T. Washington did and teaching trade and being able to say how to become self-sufficient that showed that we could do this. How has it that we were able to do this? You know, I looked at my mother's high school diploma, and it said she graduated from Aberdeen Colored High School. We did better when we controlled our schools than we did when starting to say that we want to integrate into their
schools. That's the key. That's one of the keys.
And what, And what we're saying is that we're going to do better when we start controlling our own schools and teaching the people the truth about ourselves. That's when we're going to start doing better. We don't know who we are. We've been misled, miseducated, and lied to. So now we've got to bring it back together. And we're the only ones that can do that, brother. We're the only ones who can bring us back together and teach us the truth about ourselves. Nobody else is going to do that. We got a governor here doing every daggone thing he can to stop the true history of the state of Florida and this country. They're doing everything they can, but they cannot stop us if we organize ourselves and teach our children the truth and bring them out of these stinking public school food systems.
You worked with him, and I want to know, I know Sunday is his Earth Day, and January 15th is Dr. King's birthday. And they tell us now, they say he was a civil rights leader. What was Dr. King?
Of course he was a human rights leader. You know, they put these labels on us, but he was respected all over the world, in Africa, in India. In the Central South, all over the world, they respect. There's no place in the world you can go and not hear the name of Martin Luther King Jr. or "We Shall Overcome." And those words are attributed to him and to his movement. But the point is that we, those of us here on this continent and this soil, have the responsibility to stand up and teach our people who we are and teach the world who we are and take back what these people have taken from us. And by any means necessary, we need to do that.
Right, but what they gave the label to him as a civil rights leader, he was a human rights. Human rights, that's what Dr. King was standing for. He wasn't about civil, he was about human rights. That's why he was known around the world, about treating a human being and giving a human being the same rights as every other human being.
Well, we address that all the time because it was a human rights movement. That's why there's no question about that. We won that civil rights battle. That was a done deal. We had to fight to do it, and we lost a lot of people. We're still losing people, but we're getting organized to stop it. We're getting organized now, so when they do come, we'll be ready for them. We know they are. We're being tricked into thinking it's something else, you know, but we know how these people operate. Nobody knows them better than those indigenous people here on this, and the people of this country. We know who they are.
When is the next ratification of civil rights bill? Because you know that they have to ratify it every so many years.
I don't care what they do. We're going to ratify ourselves.
Thank you.
I don't care what they do.
Whatever they do is not going to work for us.
Absolutely.
No. And again, we already have all that and done all that before. We just have to reconnect with it and get ahead and get on and start connecting up with these various organizations that are operating around the country. And that's where the rubber hits the road, folks, getting that organized. And that's no sitting around talking. That requires, you know, literal work. And then from there we can make sure that people learn about the basics and we get back to Saturday schools and or after schools and the kinds of things that we used to do and get our story back together, because literally, you know, if you just look at the books that J.A. Rogers put out, from Ku Klux Spirit, from Superman to Man, Nature Knows No Color Line, Sex and Race, Volume 2, Africa's Gift to America, and get with it, you know, and get with what we have done, you know that, we've done all that, so we can do this all again. And these are the things that we did before, so let's do them and let's get them together and let's go.
I'm going to bring someone else to the mound table.
725-248. 725-248.
General.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh.
Yeah,
this is
Wally.
Hey, Wally. Wally, what's happening? Let me just say something. I asked Wally to come on today because he's put together such a beautiful breakdown and explanation of things especially with regard to this, what we have been going through the past 2 years, 3 years with this so-called pandemic, which is a scamdemic. And I asked him if he would read that to us, what he put together. And I think it's both encouraging, it's funny, and we need laughter, but we also need to know what things really are. And he really lays it out for us. So go ahead, Wally.
Well, I think I need to start out with the, and I can email these, but I don't know what I did with Beverly's email. So but I have two that are ready to go. One is, before I get into the other one I told you about this morning, but I have one is called Cowpus, the original vaccine ingredient. And I drew a little cartoon cow, and, cartooning, and the cow says, "Cowpus, that's utterly disgusting."
Yeah.
And then I have it. I think it's like 18 point. It's nice and big and the fewest words possible. I put in the case against vaccination. Medical doctor Walter Hadwin stated, sanitary improvements began in London as early as 1766, and smallpox began to decline as a consequence before vaccination was invented. Unquote. So I put, instead of promoting sanitation, Edward Jenner promoted vaccination, cowpussation, based on the dairy maid superstition. The smallpox vaccine was known to cause, for example, smallpox, syphilis, tuberculosis, leprosy, cancer, brain damage, paralysis, in parentheses I put polio, and death. Edward Jenner's own son died from a disease known to be caused by vaccination, tuberculosis. And so that just lets you know that we have zero need for vaccination, because it was sanitation, and there's some key quotes before that to fill in some of the story. There's four key things that in the case against vaccination that medical doctor Walter Hadwin stated. First, he stated, we say that smallpox is a filth disease, and that if we get rid of the filth, we shall get rid of the disease. And then that other quote that I just quoted, where he said sanitary improvements began in London as early as 1766, and smallpox began to decline as a consequence before vaccination was invented. In regards to inoculation, he stated, but they soon found that it spread the disease tremendously. Because of the purpose of inoculation, which was injecting people with smallpox pus in order to cause smallpox. So it caused more smallpox. So then Edward Jenner promoted vaccination, injecting people with cow pus based on dairy maid superstition. And the dairy maid superstition is, if you only have cowpox, you can have smallpox. And medical doctor Charles Crichton stated, the real affinity of cowpox is not to smallpox, but to the greenpox, meaning syphilis. In other words, the dairy maid superstition is like saying if you only had syphilis, you can't have smallpox. So the smallpox vaccine caused both smallpox and syphilis. So the bottom line is we have zero need for vaccination because it was dying out because it was a filth disease. And so you have this whole big business based on the dairy maid superstition. And now the dairy maid superstition is the form of the immunity superstition. I wrote a one-page thing on the immunity superstition. And immunity is, in other words, for immunity is exemption. And it's just an imaginary exemption from the law of cause and effect. And that whole system where they say immunization, it's like saying it should be immunity superstitionization. But it's all
this imaginary, it's in the world of imagination. Everything
yes.
is the exemption is imaginary. It's an imaginary exemption from the law of cause and effect. And so then that became big business. So you hear all these terms, you know, immunity.
Yeah,
and so that
right.
the foundation is the dairy maid superstition. And then, and then Louis Pasteur promoted vaccination based it was called the germ theory, but it's actually the germ superstition. And he blamed the cause on germs, which was an imaginary cause of disease. And it's a sub-superstition of the demons or evil spirits superstition, which goes back into the superstition that disease is caused by demons or evil spirits. It's all an imaginary cause. And so now it's a virus, which is just the Latin word for poison. So they blame the cause of disease. It's all an imaginary cause of disease. And then I wrote, which I told Tarek about this morning, it's all about the contagion superstition.
Right.
And
right.
The word contagion, it's from a Latin word, which means it's contagio, which means contact. And so the superstition, which I finally realized this morning, is that the cause, which is an imaginary cause, is contact. And, you know, under the law of cause and effect, all causes have effects. And
right.
dis-ease, lack of ease, is an effect. So you have to have a cause. Well, this whole contagion is that the alleged cause is just touching people. If you touch people, the definition is the medical definition is disease transmission by direct or indirect contact. And it's all nonsense. It's if you go by the law of cause and effect, it's like saying there's zero effect, you know, zero, because there's zero cause. There's nowhere in there that there's a cause. It's all just an imaginary cause, and their whole thing. And I can't read it to you right now because my girlfriend's on the computer, and I have it on the computer. I apologize, but I'll have to get it printed out and maybe next time. But I wrote another thing. It's called the acronym superstition. It's about COVID-19.
Right.
And
there you go.
COVID-19, you know, it's an acronym, and people are saying, "Oh, we're going to get COVID." Well, how can you get COVID? You're getting an acronym. Well, and I want to thank Tarek. Tarek is the one who told me about this acronym, that it's an acronym, you know, so I started thinking about it. So I wrote a thing called the acronym superstition, and they're all one page, just one page. And as soon as I get them all printed out, but I can send you two, the cowpox one, and then also the Peter pandemic. Oh, let me tell you about the Peter pandemic right now. I'll have to email that to you. I drew caricatures, big heads, little bodies for a living for 37 years. And, for private parties and proms and grad nights and all kinds of events. But so I drew, and I have it all hand-drawn and hand-written. And I have here the Peter Pandemic, the Fairy Tale Virus, and Captain Crook, and the Harmful Vaccine. And then I have Captain Crook, cartoon version of Captain Crook with holding a hypodermic needle that says poison on it. And then I have the ship, and it says Big Harma for the ship. And then I have a little a cartoon crocodile and skull and crossbones. And it says a safe vaccine is like saying a safe crocodile.
Hmm.
So it's a real cute cartoon. But getting back to the acronym COVID-19, it stands for Coronavirus Disease 2019, and it's just an acronym, and the but that's like saying Demon 19, Evil Spirit Disease 2019. I mean, it's just imaginary. So once you understand that the whole thing, is just imaginary, and it's just a bunch of nonsense, and that we've been taken in with this imaginary nonsense.
So these are the things, my brother, that Dick Gregory and others have put together some years ago. We put this whole thing together with the AIDS and with all of the sicknesses and diseases that have been brought to us by the people who are trying to rule the world, the New World Order people.
Yeah.
Who have come in now and have taken over the most powerful country on the planet with their racism and their ignorance, and had now trying to convince the world to take their shot, to take that shot they're giving us. We're doing here at the People's Grassroots Assembly, we have solutions for all these issues, for all this so-called disease that they're bringing to us. We do have solutions, and we have doctors who have studied it, worked on it, and they're ready to present it. And what we're trying to do now is put together the people who will come together and present it to the people, to the masses. You know, the people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. They have no clue to what we're talking about tonight and what you're saying, what I'm saying, what Tariqa's saying and others. They don't have a clue to this. So what we're trying to do is to organize it to a fashion where we can get it to them, we'll understand what it is, and present to them solutions to every problem that we have. And there, we do have that. There's nothing can stop us from doing that but us. So I appreciate what you're saying and what you're doing, and we got to carry this thing forward and keep it moving, because there's so much.
Yeah, let me say another thing, and that's that, you know, in Faksimi explained, you know, medical doctor John Tilden, he stated so-called disease is a complex of symptoms signifying a crisis of toxemia, and then there's a hyphen and it says nature's house cleaning. You know, our body cleans out. So this is essentially what Tariq was saying, but I'm just putting it in another word, you know, other words. So
right.
What he called nature's house cleaning, you know, our body cleans house by getting rid of toxic waste. And
yep.
So the foundation of inoculation, you're injecting people with pus, with smallpox pus, in order to cause a house cleaning. And so and what you're doing is you're injecting people with pus when the body's attempting to get rid of pus. And then vaccination was injecting people with cow pus and the body's attempting to get rid of pus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you look at it that way, the whole thing is totally ridiculous. And the only way to prevent dis-ease, lack of ease, is remove the cause. And vaccinations, based on failing to prevent disease by removing the cause. In fact, in Edward Jenner and the Smallpox Vaccination by Irma Gardy Burrell is page 125, we find out that the original vaccine ingredient was cow pus. It says, he needed a supply of cowpox pus and went to the Pruitt farm where some of the cows still had the disease.
Yeah,
so,
we went through this. We did this.
Well, we just had a doctor on that you know, informed us that they were using snake venom. You know,
that's what it
you
is.
Know, they poisoned us in different ways.
I'm working on, it's called, I have on the computer. I've got to, you know, print them out and I do the artwork for them. And it's called Man-Made Version of a Poisonous Snake.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's what a vaccine is.
Yeah, and so I drew, we'll draw a hypodermic needle, and then it says poison on it, and then I put for the needle, the needle is like the fang, you know, it's like a single fang, and the, you know, it's the vaccine venom, and but I mean, if you think about it, it's like a little plastic viper with the poison in there, and they're injecting you with this poison, like a poisonous snake, you know. And
wait,
people go, I'm gonna get vaccinated. Oh yeah, you're gonna get, you know, injected with poison, you know, like a.
You got too much background noise, Walt. But anyway, let me just interject. Because what you've done, and the reason why I brought this forward is that we are finding out, and actually we've been told by both the CDC and the FDA that, and the NIH and the NCI and the NAID, even Fauci, all of what we've been told is all just a bunch of hooey. It has no medical. It makes no sense medically. And there are many doctors now who have taken and broken that down and have shown, for example, Dr. Stella Emmanuel from Cameroon, who went to medical school in Nigeria. She's now in jail because she was in D.C. on January 6th because she stood on the Capitol steps and said that this is no problem. We know how to handle this. You know, people get sick every year because they eat themselves sick, and then they don't clean out, and they don't have a body cleansing, and so then they get various forms of illness. The body might heat up, but the body might cool down. You might get the chills. All these different symptoms are different in different people because of different time periods in how the body reacts to being poisoned. And if you ingest all this flesh, like so many people do every day, twice, three times a day, eating cooked flesh, that then is further digested partially because we don't have all the digestive juices to digest flesh, and then it goes into the small intestines where it rots. And that's where the toxemia, you have 30 feet of intestine that are arranging a very high toxic waste that should be getting out of the body, but because people do not eliminate what they ingest, it stays in the body and makes them sick. This is ABC, yeah. 1, 2, 3, do, re, mi, people.
Right.
This is not rocket science.
That,
you know, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Tarek, and I've mentioned this to Tarek. It's interesting that the word sick, it sounds like toxic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's toxic. But let me get back to what I was talking about, the house cleaning.
Yeah.
So Louis Pasteur blamed the cause of disease on germs, see? And I'm trying to think of the name of the book. It's called Rebuild Your Health by Ann Wigmore. And Ann Wigmore, she basically said, when she talks about germs, she says that, that, you know, they're part of the part of the healing, and that they're the cleanup crew. I mean, basically, they're the cleanup crew. So you've got the house cleaning, and then the cleanup crew that breaks down the toxic waste. And also, it's in the Contagion Myth by Dr. Cowan. So you basically, and then in Dr. Cowan's book, the Breaking the Spell, the Scientific Evidence for Ending the COVID Delusion. So Dr. Cowan, when on page 8, he kind of talks about which I need to write to him and you know, ask him. But what I think they consider a so-called virus is, or what they call a so-called virus, it's just a microscopic little particle inside that they can see inside a microscope, an electron microscope. And like Tarek was saying, every day you have new cells that replace old cells. Mm-hmm. And it's just the broken particles, the little particles from the broken down cells that are about to be eliminated. And so they blame that as the cause of disease, when it's not the cause of disease. It's just a normal breakdown of the cells. And Dr. Cowan said it's the normal breakdown, inevitable breakdown of the tissues. So I'm assuming that's what he's talking about. So,
whatever it is, it's
an imaginary cause.
What happened when you've been poisoned? What happened when you've been poisoned, when they put poison into you?
Well, poisons are absorbed differently by different people, but daily we are absorbing asbestos from the brakes. We are in the air. We're in the dust.
It's been specifically stated that we've been poisoned by snake venom. So what do you if you've been by snake poison?
You have to have an antidote. You have to have some kind of something that stops the poisoning effects. But you see, what we do is we say that you have to, first of all, you have to know what ingredients are there, and then once you figure out what ingredients are there, you then go ahead and put in the kinds of herbs that will drive that out of the body, such as, for example, dandelion root tea. People who've been jabbed can take dandelion root tea along with soursop leaf tea, and jasmine tea. These teas will also cilantro tea. Yeah, cilantro is another one. All of these four elements I just mentioned, they all are, when you drink these teas, they get into the bloodstream and they stifle these molecular elements that are in the shot. Remember, you're getting something in a hypodermic needle that are just tiny, tiny molecules, many, many, many molecules, along with many toxins. And so what happens is you use the herbs to flush out both the toxins and the other elements there so that you restore the normal flow of the blood. You see, because remember, the blood goes from the 7 pints of blood go from your head to your feet, back to your head every 16 seconds. So this is why tea is so effective, because if you get these teas going in the body of people who've been jabbed, what happens is that stuff is eliminated. They end up excreting it through the urine and feces, you see. And that's where that's what we have to increase in the population, more cleansing, because that's why. And so when you tell people to hold back their money, and they're used to running to the store every day eating junk, it's hard to get them to do that, but if you can get people to start doing what I call a 3-day a month cleanse, which is about 5 days wherein you don't eat a whole lot, and it is a lemon juice. It's the juice from 3 lemons and a couple of limes, and then you put a tablespoon of maple syrup, and you put a pinch of cayenne pepper and a quart of water, and you shake it up and make it to lemonade. It's a lemonade that you drink, and you drink 2 of those in 1 day and a couple of quarts of water to keep yourself full so you don't be hungry. And you do that for 3 days a month. That's something that I think once we start doing that and we start finding out, oh, my goodness, this is how you feel? Yeah, this is how you really feel when you're cleaned out. See, because that's what people don't realize, that they are so full of toxins. Plus, the country is putting and dumping toxins on everybody. And Time Magazine report had its cover twice, for the first time in its history, repeated its cover, calling it the poisoning of America. Now, I don't think they did that for the hell of it. And so I think people should go back and look at what Time Magazine said about the toxic waste and the poisoning of America, because it's worse than it was then. And that's in the 80s that came out. You see, so we have a lot.
We've just been poisoned.
And we have a lot. And our children need to have protection from a lot of this, especially in where they're sleeping and in the home with the water that they bathe in and drink and use to drink. It has to be clean. And those solutions are available right now. I've had one for some 40-some years called the MultiPure Drinking Water System. It's the best it's the best that's ever been out. It's the most tested on the market that ever's been out, 50 years old. And, it has so much, and we have all the laboratory testing to prove that it does what it says. And you get a lifetime warranty on the product. How's that? And how can you get a lifetime warranty?
How do people get that?
How do people get that? Well, they can contact me. I will show them. Or you can go to multipure.com on the internet and go look at the products and look at the history of the company. And study for yourself what the product is, and see that there's nothing with very little equivalent products on the market, very little. I mean can really compete.
Right.
So, this is all available at your fingertips.
That's one of the remedies. Okay, go ahead.
The other is the air. Air purification is extremely important, especially with the children, because of all the plastics and all the gases that they're ingesting every day because of the synthetic lifestyle we have for the most part, and don't really know that we're doing what we're really doing. And that is, it is a fact that in the United States, the people in this country poison themselves 20 to 40 times a day just because of the industrial way of life that we have and live. And the results of and the outcomes of this industrial pollution and products that cause the production, the pollution and the mess that we're in. So again, folks, we have the solutions to all of this, and we just need again to start doing the connection, doing the networking that we all know how to do. We do it all. Everybody knows 10 people. This is how you grow. You don't grow one by one. You grow multiplication. You multiply. And that's what we have been doing.
Now, when you do you cleanse, and don't you have to repair after the cleanse? So you cleanse yourself
Before we go to that, may I interject something
okay.
right here?
Yes, yes.
And I agree with Brother Tariq. I used to sell those Multipures as well, and the air purifiers as well. But if a corporation can create a system to purify the water, what's the problem with our government and its reservoirs purifying the water that we drink every day and that we bathe in and cook in? And that's what we're saying. We've got to go to the core, to the cause of this effect. And what we've done here, we went down and challenged the county commission about the water supply and about the fluoride that was in the water and the chemicals that are in the water that they can prevent, that they can stop and they can clean it up, but they won't. And the reason they won't is because they're taking control of the country, and they're poisoning the American people, not just us. So the only people who are able to get through this are those who have the money to purchase those machines to purify their water in their homes and keep their, you know, their bodies cleaner than we are. But there's so much education that has to go along with this. We've got to teach them to get out of the McDonald's and the Burger King's eating that poison and understand the food. The food that you're eating, the food that you're eating, that we must grow our own food. We must grow our own food from our own people who are going to do the right thing by all of the people. So, you know, we've got to have solutions to these problems that exist. And they've been here for a long time.
And we got to know how to cook. And we have to know how to cook, because I just ate a pizza that was a Mac. It was not a. It tasted like a Big Mac, but it was no meat. It was a vegan pizza, and I mean it was delicious. But I thought I was eating a Big Mac. It tastes just like a Big Mac. But we got to change how we cook.
Oh yeah, definitely, yep.
Well, where
absolutely.
We eat from, who we eat from, and you know, we just got to take charge of our lives now. You know, we don't have time, to go back and chat. You know, we know what's going on. Like I said, Dick Gregory pointed all of this stuff out years ago, but we didn't listen to him. Okay, years ago. This is nothing new. None of this is new that we've heard. They've just escalated it and tried to get more people to kill themselves. So we're here to stop it. That's what the
so. Oh yeah, let me break in here real quick. I mentioned this to Tariq that the vaccines are the perfect crime. I mean, it's the perfect murder.
Yeah,
they can murder people, and they don't get thrown in jail. They don't get thrown in prison. And go, it's all in the name. Oh, it's going to make you immune, or it's going to, we need to do this, and it's
all a fraud, all a complete and utter medical fraud, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's what these doctors are all coming out with now, that they're saying, and they're finding out that this whole thing was a hoax from start. If you go back and read the Rockefeller Foundation memo, they tell you exactly, page by page, they show you exactly what has happened this entire time. And it's a worldwide plan that they've put on us, and they've done it. And now people are awakening to it and are becoming aware of it and are saying, look at the nurses in New York. They're saying, no more. This is enough. You know, they're understaffed and overworked. And the system itself is not helping anyone, not making anyone well. In fact, the whole ventilator thing that they did to all these elders was a literal mass murder, because those ventilators were wrongly calculated. And once they were these elders were put on these ventilators, their lungs blew up. And that's what killed them, and it didn't take long for that to happen. So, we have to know what happened, folks, because once you see how they have done these things over and over, there's a pattern. It's like Gil Scott Heron said at one time, back when Tricky Dick and his boys were running, he said, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean
It follows a pattern, if you know what I mean.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's what's going on. They just keep the pattern going over and over, and we have to stop it, folks.
But that's exactly why I've said what I've said all along, that we've known these things. Now, when are we putting the solutions together to save the people from this or to teach the people how we can handle these conditions that are being presented to us and by who? Who's handling? Mm-hmm. We are trusting a government that's selling us out and it's murdering us. Okay, now how do we do that? We run to vote and to be a part of it, and we become an elected official, and we support what they're doing. So, you know, we just got to get ourselves better organized as a people. And I think people, I mean, a free people have to get together all over the planet. It ain't just here in America. It's all over the world now.
Yeah.
And we got to also understand that they have flipped things on us. The people is the government, and they are the corporation. They got us thinking that they're the government. And once we understand that the people are the government, they're not the government. And we have to stand up.
Mm-hmm. That's how this thing works.
Let me break in here. It's supposed
to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's what the grassroots assembly is. It's an organization of people, of the grassroots, to take charge of what their lives are. And when we do that, we will find out that we are the majority, that there's no way they could win a true true election. There's no way they could win it. It's just like what they did in South Africa when they released Mandela from prison and they called for an election. How in the hell are they supposed to win an election in South Africa when they're less than 1% of the population? So they lied to us again, and they took over the country. They're running the country as we speak. And Mr. Elon Musk is a South African who's made his billions of dollars off of the slave labor of blacks in South Africa. We have to understand what these things mean and who we are and what we can do to put a stop to this stuff. You know, your money is one of the ways to do that. Stop financing your own demise. And, you know, you just got to stand up and do this.
Yep.
So, I had mentioned, David Jose. The beauty part is that he's melanated.
Right.
And he says that he's from the ghetto. He was, from Michigan and, from the ghetto. But he discovered through the state constitutions, and he's if you follow David, it's Dave Jose or David Jose, and he's there's Dave Cares for You. He's on Telegram, and he's now on Twitter now, and he discovered it in the state constitution. In all the state constitutions on the Declaration of Rights, it says the people have all political power. And they all take an oath of office. But if you listen to him and follow him, and he's doing incredible things. He's getting, there's like thousands of notices and affidavits. He got the audit going in Arizona. He lives in Arizona, and he does that we are to instruct the government as the people, and the highest status, very highest status, is as the people. So if you follow Dave Jose, it's Dave Cares for You, on Twitter he's on Twitter, and also I just mentioned the other one,
Telegram.
So Telegram, mm-hmm. And that's what I would suggest.
Well,
so if you want, I Tarek, my girlfriend left. She went in the other room, so I pulled up the what I read. Do you hear that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I call this one the contagion, and in parentheses I put contagio, contact, and then superstition, it's false belief. And I put under the law of cause and effect, all causes have effects. Dis-ease, lack of ease, is an effect. Under the law of cause and effect, there is zero contagion. In parentheses, I put imaginary cause. Therefore, contagion is under the category of superstition, as false belief. In the Great AIDS hoax, T.C. Frye stated, contagion was born from demonology. In olden times, diseases meant that you were possessed by demons. A virus is an evil spirit. In other words, contagion was born from demonology. Demonology is the ancient superstition that disease is caused by demons or evil spirits, an imaginary cause. Virology is a sub-superstition of demonology, an imaginary cause. A virus, the Latin word for poison, is an imaginary cause of disease, like a demon or an evil spirit. The medical definition of contagion, in parentheses I put Latin word contagio, contact, is disease transmission by direct or indirect contact. Contagion, contagio or contact, is based on the superstition that contact is a cause. In regards to cause and effect, the definition of contagion should read zero effect, zero cause by zero cause or zero cause. Just a minute, I have to move it up. Under the law of cause and effect, there is only cause and effect. Therefore, the following words are superstitious nonsense. Contagion, contagious, contact, variations of the word contact, transmission, communicable, passing, infection, outbreak, spread, virus. Under the law of cause and effect, there is zero contagion, imaginary cause. So what do you think of that?
That's it. That's what this is what I've been trying to teach for years, that there's no such a thing as cooties, you guys. You remember back in the day when we were children, it was about the cooties. You didn't want no cooties on you. This is all they're literally saying, because if they don't have a $3 million electron microscope, there's no way they can even see what they're calling virus, which is, like he says, a Latin word for poison. And, you know, it's all superstition. And they've been, and actually Dr. Stephen Lanka from Germany, one of the top PhDs in virology in Europa, in Germany, he claims that it's all a bunch of mythology, folks. And that's
okay,
what it comes
so
down to. Yeah, they've been pumping this game on us all the time.
Is there a difference between a virus and poisoning? I'm not getting it. I mean, something's just not connecting with me. I mean,
okay, a virus,
people are
listen,
dying.
Listen. A virus is a template or a pattern. This is the medical dictionary's definition. It is a template or a pattern. It has no metabolism and no decision-making faculties. So can it do anything? No. So what people are dying from are poisoning and poisoning
That's
of themselves
that.
Through what they are eating and drinking and thinking. That's what people are dying from.
You're saying that they're not dying from the snake venom and other things that they have poisoned us with?
Well, yeah. Now that the people have accepted that there was this so-called virus that made them sick, and then they run to them preachers have them run to the place and put their arms out and get stuck with the poison. Well, once you've taken that, now that's you have been poisoned. Yes.
That's
no.
What,
I'm
well,
saying
all,
that,
yeah, we've been poisoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that,
oh, yeah,
that's what I'm saying that the actual poisoning and the actual reduction of the population down to manageable numbers is what is going on with the jabs. because that's what we're going to see between now, 2023 and 2025. You're going to see massive numbers of people dying off from these death shots. Dr. Tenpenny, drtenpenny.com, go look at it for yourself. She gives you all the ingredients. She shows you that if you put these poisons in your body, you got 6 months to 2 years. That's what is the truth. So I'm going to listen to she because she has never been vaccinated, but she's studied the whole thing and she knows it very well.
Well, back, if I may, back in the 80s or in the 90s, I fought the federal government to stop them from vaccinating my children in the public school system in Miami. And everybody turned against me because I stood up to the government and said, no, you're not going to vaccinate them. And they did not, okay, because they didn't want the battle that they thought they were going to have from me. And I was only because I was president of the SCLC then here. So they thought that was going to be a big battle. And it would have been if enough people understood why I wasn't going to vaccinate my children. But my point is this, until we teach these mothers and these children that do not get vaccinated, and until we organize ourselves so that if the government, those who are in control of our government, try to force us to do things that we're not, we don't want to do or shouldn't do, then we have the right to enforce what you're saying, Tariq, the constitutional law on them, and that
there
we then must have enough organization about ourselves to get the sheriffs and those who are being charged with constitutional law and those who have been charged with spiritual law to do the right thing. The problem has been that they have all sold us out, and they're doing what the money calls for them to do. And that goes for the sheriffs, that goes for the preachers, that goes for the lawyers, the doctors, the Indian chiefs. And we have brought them to the table. We've asked them on other shows to do the right thing, to do the right thing.
So are you dark?
But we have to first get organized to the point where we have that kind of togetherness to make these things happen.
Yep. No, I'm agreeing, Ray, because what I'm saying is these people that are claiming to be public servants and claiming to do this and that and don't do what they're supposed to do and don't do what we want them to do, we have the remedy, folks. It was given to us in 1946, right after the war, when everybody was scrambling, getting back together and trying to get set it up and the American dream and the blah, 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 and the blip, 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 and all of that. And so most people didn't get the Administrative Procedures Act, see, because what happens is you have the right and you have the duty to ask these people for their papers. In other words, you can do exactly what they do to us. May I see your papers, please? Yeah, I want to know if you have your papers in order for you to be in that position, for you to tell me anything, okay? Because and this is how we do this. It's very simple. It's either two letters, two pages, or it's 12 pages. It's a document which is called the Notice by Written Communication and Security Agreement, which is a contract that as soon as though whomever you send this to, as soon as they get it in their possession, they agree, they consent, they also, and they waive all defenses.
And what happens when they don't do what they're supposed to do?
They don't. And they're not going to because they can't.
They've been doing it for the last 400 years. Why won't they do it
now? No, it ain't been no 400 years. But we know how to put the stop to it. And I'm telling you, this works. This has worked. It will work if we do it. Now, and I say this because I've proven it over the past 25 years. I have the cases. I have all the charges. I can show the whole thing to anybody who wants to see it, that they are nobody, because if you understand who you are, then you ask them for their paperwork, and guess what they will do? They will default every time because they can't answer you, because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They're corporate, remember. The thing was changed in 1872. It's all corporate. They do what they want to do. So we say to them, excuse me, may I see your papers, please? Could you show me your oath of office and your bond, especially your bond, because they have to have an insurance policy to protect us from
everything
them, folks. Everything.
And a lot of people go right to where they bonds are at. So they go right where their bonds, where they get their bonds from.
Mm-hmm. You're from the insurance company.
You can see, have to be insured. They have to be.
They have to give it to you by law, by their law and their rules. If you ask for it, they must give it to you or tell you where it
is.
But they don't.
Take it upon yourself to go find it, because a lot of people, they're not asking them. They're going to get it themselves. So if they don't give it to it, then they have the remedy.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Because, see, this is what is done. Once you put them on the spot for their being supposed public servants, and you present them with the public servant questionnaire, which they must fill out according to their own rules, by the way, and you send them a notice and demand for credentials and identification, quo warranto, which asks them for 10 particular things that they must have in place before they take office, and that they have 72 hours to respond. And that if they disagree or if they have some problem, they must present all those documents. First of all, they must present all those 10 things that they were asking for. They must send those certified copies to the notary. That is the address below. That's how you get the confession from them. You see, because what happens is, you ask them to prove up who they are, and guess what they don't do? They don't prove up who they are, and so therefore you have them in default and dishonor and nihil desit, which means you did not speak, you said nothing. So once you get them in that position, now the notary has to fill out what is called a certificate of non-response by the supposed official it is. And therefore, that's the funds that help us to do what we need to get done. That's where we start picking them off and asking them for their paperwork and billing them, sending them a bill, because they work for us. We don't work for them. You send them a bill, and you bill them clearly for what they're supposed to do. And if they don't do it, then that bill becomes theirs in their private capacity, and if they cannot pay it, we can take it out of their in bankruptcy, we can put them in involuntary bankruptcy, or we can go to the U.S. Treasury and present the documentation and get our check. You know, like Martin Luther King was trying to get our people to go to D.C. to get their check. Wasn't that the reason you were going to D.C.? Yeah, and somehow we forgot about our check. But see, this is how you get your check, and you don't really do anything. Actually, they do it for you, because in their fraud, they prove to the world, they confess on the public record that they are not who they say they are, and they don't have what they're supposed to have, and what they're doing is what they call misprision of felony. Yeah, and that is that's how you take them to the marshal. And the marshal, you take it to the marshal, and you have the marshal go take them out of office, take them out of there. Yeah,
and
or
you can't
get to
use their and you can't use their court system because the courts are corrupt too.
Right. No. Yeah. You don't do it in their court. You do it in the public court. See, that's our court, the public court. That's why we do this, because they will confess every time. The reason why is because it's corporate. Remember, it's corporate, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. They think they can skip this, and we'll worry about that later. And I got a meeting I got to go to, and we'll handle that later. You know, that
and
kind of stuff.
And you have to And you have to do them like they do us. When we don't pay our bills, what do? They put it on our credit report, you know.
Right.
And after your credit report, you know, your ratings go down. You can't get credit and stuff like that. Same thing with them.
Well, but it's worse for them.
And they're Duns and Bradstreet and they bonds and things.
Right.
That makes their credit report go down.
Would you explain to the people the difference between the public court and the corporate court?
Oh, well, the public court is you getting the Secretary of State's representative, the commissioned officer of the Secretary of State, the public notary public, to assist you in requesting the paperwork for the various people claiming to be public servants causing you problems or harassing you or for whatever reason, you know, that these situations or for not doing their job, for diverting the money from our community to their community and the kinds of shenanigans that go on all the time that we know about and that we can do something about, but we just don't know the mechanisms. Well, here is one of the major mechanisms and remedies you have is by demanding from them, and I plan to do this week. I'm going to go down here this coming week to City Hall in Los Angeles and demand that Kevin DeLeon get his behind up out of there, okay, from City Hall as a city councilman, because he is he has violated his oath of office, especially in that taped presentation that we heard of him sitting there going along with all the racialist crap that they were spinning therein, you know, like the good old boys club. They all of a sudden were all together there. No Spanish were all together there, and they started talking about folks, you know, like they really feel. Yeah, that's what came out, see. And so he's there sitting there, but the lady had enough integrity to step down because she was the one who was the ringleading of the whole thing. So at least she had the integrity to step down. He's talking about he ain't stepping down. He's not resigning. The other people resign. He's not. See, and neither is that the other one, that Castilla. No, what's his name? Anyway,
Also, the Secretary of State has a dual role. The Secretary of State is public and private.
Yes, correct. That is correct. But these people are the public side, and they're claiming to have taken an oath in to have that job. And so once that has transpired, now you have the right and the duty to, anytime you feel like it, ask them for their paperwork to see if they've done what they're supposed to do. Otherwise, you know, they end
most
up doing what they
have.
Well, most of them don't have it. That's what you find out. That's what's so ugly about it, folks. You find out that most of them don't even bother because they found out from whomever got them in. Oh, don't worry about that. Yeah, we got that handled. We'll do that later. We'll catch up on that. You know, this is, you got to realize this is corporate, folks. This is the corporate.
And then you also have to really start. People need to start looking into the post office, not the United States Postal Service. That's corporate.
No, not the corporation.
They need to look at the post office.
Awesome.
You can
use
that. That works for the people. That they were there before the corporations came about.
Right.
So that's where you, and why you think they have, what do they call them, a general post office generals. That's military.
Postmaster general. That's a military. That's right.
Yeah.
Because they have to be on guard of the gold and the money. They got the funds, the money. See, this country, as we will find out Sunday from the brother that you say is going to join us on Sunday, you know, this country.
Rob Hayes will be with us Sunday.
Yeah, Rob Hayes, he's fixing to lay it out. First of all, folks, this country is out of bankruptcy. It no longer exists. Do you know that? That's the thing we ought to know. Nobody can be arrested and charged and all that kind of stuff because the United States Corporation, the one that they're claiming is the USA, which is not, the United States Corporation no longer exists. It is dissolved. Came out of bankruptcy for the last time, 2019. So go look it up. You know, but Tariq ain't just talking smack. I know all of this. I found it out. Go look it up for yourself.
So what happens when you've got to take it back to the people? That's what you're doing all over the world. The people are coming together to try to take back their governments, and they're being attacked by the military that's controlled by the government. Brazil is going through it right now. In Africa, they're going through it in different countries. Libya, you know, went through it. It's the same situation. It's the same people doing the same thing. And at some point, we need to understand that that's what it is and position ourselves to address it when it comes. And that's all we're saying. Let's organize so that we can be in position to deal with it and from the people's perspective. And I don't think that we are there yet, and we're working on that to be able to get there. But in the meantime, we've got so many things that we must do, and it takes all of us. Like I said, all roads lead home, and we all have a role to play. We need to play our roles and get this done. Yes.
Yeah, form some committees that will start looking into and developing this process, this administrative process. Wherever they are, you're going to find these criminals. They're all a bunch of criminals because they've all skipped over or just don't do or don't bother with the things that they're supposed to do in order to be in the so-called positions that they're in. And so what happens is, unless you check them, they're going to continue doing it. That's all. And checking them is not making threatening you in any way. Because, again, you have an enlist the Secretary of State's office in front of you as your witness, you see, and that's where we get them because that's how you get the public confession, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for them to default, and once they do, we got them, you see, because there's a bill that goes along with that, see, and that bill has to be paid. And so how do you collect? Okay, well, you take it, 60 days. You have your demand for payment. After 60 days, if they don't pay, then you quadruple the amount of the bill because they didn't comply or perform after the 60 days. And so then you take that amount to the Treasury Department and present your public, and that's what I'm trying to get people to see. This is the public way of getting them to confess that they're not who they say they are. And it works every time because, remember, they've been incorporated since 1872, and they've been flipped over and come out of bankruptcy four times. And after the fourth time in 2019, they're no longer, they're dissolved, you see. And that means that you got to go to your congressional record on your computer. You put in congressionalrecord.com or .gov or whatever, and then you put in March 9th, 1933, and then you read what it says. It tells you right there.
The pages is 78. 79, 80, 81 to 83. So I read in those pages there.
I guess what I'm talking about, see. Yeah, see, and there's no excuse, you know, because everybody's got fingers, except for those who don't have arms and hands. But
But most people have fingers that they can go on the computer and put in these words and get the information. That's all it is. I mean, that's how simple it really is, folks. And once we get that pattern going, you know, because it takes 30 days to break a habit, you know, and if you can get people 30 days to comply with certain practices, get them to do things in over and over for 30 days that they benefit from, of course, not just getting them to do something for nothing. But once you do that, go ahead.
And that's where people have an issue with, because we've been taught a certain way, and it's not the way we've been taught. And to unlearn the way that we have been taught, that's been the problem. Once you get past that, then, you know, it gets easier.
Well, that's exactly what the grassroots assembly is doing. Well, that's what we're doing as we speak.
Right.
We're learning, and we're getting this information. People will tune in and learn as we go. And but it's up to you all, those who are listening, those who are calling in, you must follow the lead. We've given you the information. Follow it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, follow it. Test us. You know, we're not going to lie to you. We're not trying to get, you know, if you do these things, they will work. But you have to do them. You have to do them. We can't do it for you. You have to do them. Now, Tariq has given you and Beverly have given you the information. You guys should be on your computers right now testing this out. Test it out. See if we're lying to you. Because we're not. We're trying to show you a way out of this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to hurry and get it done. But that's what organization does. It organizes the people to make a move collectively to address issues. And like I said, get 10 people together and go down to your commission and demand that they take this poison out of your water supply. They can do it right there at the reservoir and make them do it. Okay.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then you follow this instruction that Tariq has given you. Demand their records. Okay. So that's how we got to get this thing. Yeah.
And this is not, we're not calling out everybody to do this, because we know everybody is not busy, you know, everybody's busy and everybody's
right.
got all their
right. right.
Those who will, you know, come on, let's come together, let's sit down, let me show you how easy this is, especially y'all who love to put stuff on the computer, but it's two pages. These two-page letters are just so beautifully written.
That's what we call leadership, okay?
Yeah.
You're showing the people the way out of a mess. And it's
right.
a very simple and easy way to and we're going to back up what we're saying to you. We're going to
mm-hmm.
back it up. There's so much that goes with it. And there's so many people who can help and assist you, but you got to do it, like Tariq says. You don't have to read all this stuff, because Tariq has already read it, and he's just sharing it with us. And thank God for him and others like him who have read
and others out there
studied,
too.
Yeah. Others like him who've studied these kinds of things and are willing to share that information. But we the ones that are going to have to do these things. Give them that address, that web address again. Give them all of it again, please, Tariq, so that they can write it down.
Which one now?
The congressional,
this is where you find out what we're saying about the United States and that having no money. There's no money in this country. All this what we're walking around with, this paper, is notes. It's something you owe. It ain't something you got. That's what you better learn, the name of the words, you know, and you want to find out what happened in 1933. The United States was a part of the Geneva Convention of the 10 countries that were there and met and decided a bunch of things internationally, and all of them declared bankruptcy in the Rothschild-run and owned city of London. And that was and is in the Congressional Record, March 9th, 1933, you can read it, the sister just gave you the pages, 78 to 80, whatever, all the pages right there.
83.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then once you see that, you're going to just say, whoa,
And then what? Okay, so if that's the case, then who are all these people arresting people and putting them in jail? And that's why you got Mr. Gascon and some of these DAs who are out here, you know, letting people go, because it's, you know, people are finding out, folks, what to do.
Yeah.
In 2004, I spent 313 days locked up. And I learned a whole lot of stuff, believe me. They moved me 32 times. I got what they call the diesel therapy. And as soon as I got where I got, the young brothers would call me over, "Hey, OG, over here." And they called me over, and I would lay, and then I'd sit with them, and we'd rap, and then I'd end up writing four or five book lists. These are the books y'all need to read. And they would just get them, and everybody had, you know, and everybody wrote up one, and everybody had one. And then pretty soon, and in the next 2 days, I was out of there. They pulled me back into downtown. And then in downtown, the youngsters did the same thing. And then they moved me back out there 32 times, folks.
I got pulled over by the police and got a ticket. Wrote the judge a letter. I didn't have to go to court. It was resolved. I just gave them the laws, their laws.
Is that all you did is write a letter?
And I'm not stepping up in their courtroom.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
and
correct.
The judge wrote me back. I didn't have to go to court.
Right. Well, here's what we do as well. We write the letter to the judge. And we like to write the letter to the prosecuting, and you don't have to go in there, because if you go in the door, you're literally on board ship. That's what you got to understand.
Yeah.
But however, if you hear your name and you stand up and you answer to it by saying, "I'm here on that matter," okay?
Well,
I'm here on behalf of that matter. Right. I'm here on behalf of that matter. And as far as I know, that this court is operating in bankruptcy, and no one can be charged with anything, and my case is dismissed, and you walk out.
Yeah, it's different ways, not just no one way.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not
there's
just
all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
I agree.
But it can be done. It's being done.
It can be done.
It works.
You know, you got to have gumption. You got to have a little gumption because, you know, you're
right.
In there against.
You can't be afraid.
You can't, because if you go in there and you got fear, then they're going to jump all over you anyway.
They'll eat you alive. Yeah.
But if you're fearful, then they're going to really eat you alive. But if you're not, you know, that way I walked into the courtroom once with my friends who were arrested for they had some airplane game they were doing, and the people in Glendale had them arrested. So I put them on my UCC-1, so they were my property. So I went through the courtroom and through the court gate and told the judge, "Excuse me, sir. I need to get my property here," and I gave the clerk the UCC-1 instrument, and of course then four or five sheriffs jumped on me and put me in the tank in the back, you know, and then they let me out later on, and 11 of them took me and walked me out of the building, all the way out of the building onto the street. It was funny. I thought it was funny they would do such a thing about one guy. You know, that showed me that we have a lot of power. See, that's what it showed me. The people have.
And if you had 10 or 20 people going to with you, they would have backed up all the way.
So
that's what we're organizing. Because
that's
not
exactly
only that, while that is being done, there are people who are losing their homes to these fraud foreclosures, losing their jobs to this fraud government. Losing their children to this fraud government, taking our children from their parents, giving our land away. And the only way to address it just in my opinion, is to organize. And so that when you do go with that information, that knowledge that you have, that you do not go alone. And that this thing has to happen all over the country at the same time. People in all over the country suffering have a way to connect with each other to get this thing done, because it'll work in every city in this country, in every street, if we organize it properly.
It sure does. Yeah. It works every time. Because you and see, even in the small towns, you're going to find, you know, that this is correct. We went to a town in Nevada called Lincoln, Nevada, and they have a county seat there, and they had the county records and stuff. And so one of the ladies there got a little huffy, and so the people we were with told her, "Excuse me, ma'am, may I see your paperwork, please?" And you should have seen her, how she, all that huffiness just settled down real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're down to our last three minutes. So do you have any information that you want people to contact you, or anything you want to say for these last 3 minutes?
I do. I want people to, first of all, I want to talk, I texted you, but I don't know if you got it, but I texted you about Simone's Pirate Jenny performance, which I believe is the attitude we must all have, because as you were telling me earlier today, this is war, folks. We are at war, folks. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry for you. That's all I can say. We, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do. But if you don't believe it, if you don't want to see it, that's on you. But we are at war. They are attacking us from all directions, from the sky every day. I mean, all day today, yesterday, the clouds come in. You see the lines being laced in the sky, and the chemtrails, you know. And they're continually seeding the skies. And this is why we have an atmospheric river, and this is why we have a winter bomb in the north, and back where y'all live, you know. And so I'm saying, contact me at Tariq Montuno, Tariq, TARIKMONTUNO, @gmail.com with any questions you have, and I will do my best to get back to you and get you the answers.
Okay.
Direction to where those answers are.
Okay. Thank you, Tariq. And Elder Ray, do you have contact number or anything that you want people to get in contact with you before we go?
Yes. Yes, I can be reached at 786-389.
Did we lose you? Okay. I think we lost Elder Ray. Well, thanks for joining. Please join me Sunday, where I will have Rod Hayes will be on with me Sunday, and that's some more information. It's about information now. So we get it.
Yes,
it's always been about information, but it's really serious information. So join me Sunday. We're going to do the drum roll at 3 to 4, and 4 we'll have Rod Hayes on with us. And thank you, Tariq, and thank you, Elder Ray, and thank you, family. Thank us, and we'll talk with you Sunday.
Better love.
All right, where am I at here?
Hey, yeah, we're the same brothers from a long time ago. We were talking about television and doing it on the radio. What we did was to help our generation realize they got to get out there and get busy, because it wasn't going to be televised. We got respect for young rappers and the way they freeway in. But if you're going to be teaching folks things, be sure you know what you're saying. Older folks in our neighborhood got plenty of know-how. Remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be out there now. And I ain't coming at you with no disrespect. All I'm saying is that you damn well got to be correct. because if you're going to be speaking for a whole generation, and you know enough to try and handle their education, be sure you know the real deal about past situations and ain't just repeating what you heard on a local TV station. Sometimes they tell lies and put them in a truthful disguise. But the truth is, that's why we said it wouldn't be televised. They don't know what to say to our young folks, but they know that you do. And if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? The first sign is peace. Tell all them gun-toting young brothers that the man is glad to see us out there killing one another. We raised too much hell when they were shooting us down, so they started poisoning our mind and trying to jerk us all around. And then they tell us they got to come in and control our situation. They want half of us on dope and the other half in incarceration. If the ones they want dead ain't killed by what they instigated, they can put some dope on the brother's body and claim it was drug-related. Tell them drug-related means there don't need to be no investigation, or at least that's the way they're gonna play it on the local TV station. All your 9mm brothers, give them something to think about. Tell them you heard that this is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they feel in the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They're feeling real independent, but they just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally co-opted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down, because we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes, and they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who's ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve.